Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's primetime Stockwatch. What's all the hype? Are Isaac and Soup buying it or calling BS and unloading it fast?
Sounds to me like you guys are a couple of bookies.
Is the hype accurate or a bunch of hot gas? Before you buy or sell, listen close.
It's easy to grin when your ship comes in and you've got the stock market beat. But the man worthwhile is the man who can smile when his shorts aren't too tight in the seat.
Primetime Stockwatch is brought to you by 1-800-DIVORCE. When you need to take stock of your rights, 1-800-DIVORCE is on your side. Call 1-800-DIVORCE today.
All right, still to come, Oregon quiets the big house, complete with AI Dan Lanning, and we'll get to the rest of the weekend that was in college football, even though we've done a lot of that already. There's more! You believe that?
There's always more.
There's always more. And the NFL. Our Seahawks suddenly suck. Not good.
I got some thoughts on that.
That's how you give away a game, right?
Well, there's someone that's taking, and I get it, a lot of blame, and he is not the problem there.
Oh, Gino?
Yeah.
That might be coming up at the end of this Stockwatch.
Right. Nice! Nice!
On the same page.
Here is Buckley with Stockwatch.
We will start in State College, Pennsylvania. Isaac alluded to this earlier, but this incident before the Penn State game, Jason Kelce carrying a 12-rack of beers and getting harassed by a fan, this is how it went down.
Kelce, can I get a fist bump?
What you heard there at the end was the pop of a phone smashing on the ground when someone used a slur asking Jason Kelce what they thought about his brother, or if his brother is a slur now that he's dating Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
So
you got there. You did it.
Yeah, we did it.
Good description.
But this is this led to Jason Kelce's apology tonight on Monday Night Countdown. Here's what that sounded like.
Listen, I'm not happy with anything that took place. I'm not proud of it, and you know, in a heated moment, I chose to greet hate with hate, and I just don't think that that's a productive thing. I really don't. I don't think that. You know, it leads to discourse, and it's the right way to go about things. And in that moment, I fell down to a level that I shouldn't have. So I think the bottom line is, you know, I want to live my life. I try to live my life by the golden rule. That's what I've always been taught. I try to treat people with common decency and respect, and I'm going to keep doing that moving forward, even though this past. Even though I fell short this week, I'm going to do that moving forward and continue to do that.
Buy or sell that Jason Kelce should have apologized at all?
No. I mean, I think he had to, probably. Obviously, he's a public figure, ESPN. He had to apologize because he used the slur. But he only used the slur in response.
Wait,
to...
he did?
Well,
what did he say?
He said, who's
the blank now?
Yeah. Oh,
after he smashed the phone.
After he smashed the phone. So
it was less him calling that guy that, but like, you called me that, and maybe you're that. Or, you know, it was...
So, look, you can't do it, but at the same time, I wish he would have... I mean, I know you can't. That guy just deserved to get socked in the face. We've gotten way too comfortable with these idiots now, shoving people's phones in people's faces and saying these awful, hurtful things because there's no consequences. So... Like, I could care less what happens to this, you know what, that was taunting him. I mean, he'll pay him for a new phone. Maybe he has to write him a check for $5,000. The guy gets his 2 seconds of fame. So, yeah, if you're Kelce, you're a public figure, you got to be better than that. But I don't know if he owes anyone an apology, but I'm sure ESPN made him do that. So, and I'm sure, like, you could tell in his voice, he's not thrilled that it went there.
No, he's not. And that's what I liked about the apology. I don't think he needed to apologize because apologies, it's like, that doesn't change anything. It's like, he did it. And I don't like how he reacted. Yeah. At the same time, that is the very definition of F around and find out.
Yeah.
You can't be doing that to people, and be prepared for your phone to get smashed, and you're lucky your nose didn't get broken.
Yeah.
But that said, what he said I thought was great in his apology. And you could tell that was heartfelt. Yep. He didn't, he felt bad about being triggered by that guy. Yep. I've always been one to say, when you're a public figure like Jason Kelce and you're throwing yourself out there on every damn commercial known to man and every damn pregame show known to man, some of the responsibility that comes with that is being able to handle that very situation right there better than you did. So he's not at fault, but at the same time, I like what he did to the kid's phone. F that kid. You can't be going around doing that. He shouldn't do that again, and I think it was a heartfelt apology that that he made, and let's all move on.
Yeah. I mean, I know...
Now, if Kelce has a history of acting like this when people try to bait him, because you know more people are going to try to bait him now. Yeah. That's the hard part about this, is they will. If he keeps doing this, then it's all, you know, then it's a different conversation. But I think he's a decent guy, Jason Kelce,
even though
I'm tired of seeing him.
But by all accounts, he is a good dude.
And I think that was a sincere apology. I think he really meant that. He didn't want to react that way. He hates that he reacted that way, but he did, and he apologized for it. Let's move on.
Well, and I relate to that. I have had a temper over the years, and I've worked hard to try to control it. And every now and then, when it comes back out, it really is embarrassing when you see glimpses of it. And I did. I think that was really genuine, and you could hear it in his voice. I don't think that was BS.
Well, moving on to the actual game at hand in State College.
Who won?
Well, that would be the Ohio State Buckeyes after
10-0.
After felt like it. After Penn State flailed in the red zone multiple times. This is James Franklin after the game.
I understand their frustration. Guys in the locker room are just as frustrated, if not more. But college football has changed, and we have an opportunity moving forward to right some wrongs from today. And that's what we're going to focus on. I get it. We get an unbelievable crowd here. We get unbelievable support. You don't do that without passion. And there's great things that come from that, and there's hard things that come from that. That's part of the job. That's part of the job, and I own it all. I own it all.
Buy or sell, James Franklin's going to get another crack at Ohio State.
No.
You think he's going to get fired?
Oh, I thought you were talking about this year. Like,
oh no, not this season.
So you're saying
like will he
not gonna fire him.
Will he lose again and then ultimately be fired?
Yeah, no, I he'll get another crack next year, but I do not think they will play Ohio State in the Big Ten title game. I thought that's what you were.
No, I just meant would he get the chance to play him again next season?
I think I'd have to look at his look at his bat. He's been really successful there at Penn State, but. Ultimately, he can't win the games, and I could see Penn State moving on from him.
He's like 1-13 in those rivalry games.
It's not pretty. I just don't know. I mean, Penn State just hasn't. They've had one coach for so long, and then Bill O'Brien, but Bill O'Brien left, and then Franklin came in and really stabilized that. So, I'm going to say no, but I totally understand where Penn State is coming from if they move on. And to be honest with you, if I was Penn State, I think I probably would. Because I think Franklin is a very good coach. I don't think Franklin is a great coach, and he's proven that. And if you're Penn State, what are your expectations? You know, are you Wisconsin or are you Ohio State? Because you fancy yourself Ohio State, and the truth of the matter is, for the last 20 years, you have not been.
And they've got a decent shot at running the table now, and they'll probably be left out of the Big Ten championship game. So they should get a spot in the playoffs.
Get a spot in the playoffs. So
what's the buy or sell?
Buy or sell whether he'll be their coach next year.
Yeah, he'll be there. Yeah, I don't think they're going to fire him. I think if you move on from him, you really better have a good upgrade. You know?
What about down in Indiana? You're like, hey.
Would you?
The
Sig
10!
Would you take Cignetti over James Franklin?
After one
year? I don't know. I think if you could get Dan Lanning on the hook.
Sure.
You make that move.
Yeah.
If you could get... I'm trying to think who else is out there.
I'm looking here to see what his buyout is.
Would you take Lane Kiffin if he would jump?
Ooh.
I think I would.
I think I would,
too. Because I think I know that there is a ceiling with Franklin, and I've got to try to break through the ceiling, and he's just not going to be the guy. Although, it's $56 million.
No.
But.
What about Nick Saban?
Yeah, I would.
Remember him?
I would go ahead and do that.
Give him a call?
Yeah.
Moving on to the Oregon Ducks, who were in Ann Arbor over the weekend. Dan Lanning was asked about the lack of production from the Ducks in the third quarter. They have scored all of 6 points the third quarter in 6 Big Ten games this year. He was asked about it not once but twice in the postgame.
Yeah, there's a trend, right? And it's something that we're certainly aware of and attacking. You know, again, they came out and got a 3-and-out there, I think, on the very first drive out of the third quarter. So it's something we want to look at and improve on.
Dan, just to circle back to the third quarter issue, the trend. Is it at a point where you would say that's a problem? Is it on the verge of becoming a problem? Like, how do you characterize it?
No, we won 38-17. So I'd say it's not a problem, right? It's something we want to address, though.
Buy or sell, nice. Oregon does have a third quarter problem.
Nice answer.
Yes. Yes, they do.
What's their problem?
I don't know.
What's going on with that?
Because they've been, I mean, they're a big middle eight team. I mean, that's one of the things he always preaches, the last 4 minutes of the half, first 4 minutes of the second half. And, you know, you got blanked against Ohio State, and that didn't come back and cost you. I mean, it could have. You know, the other ones, it's like UCLA, Michigan State, Illinois, like Michigan.
Purdue.
Like, you've been up big in all those games. So I wonder, is it...
Yeah.
Are you uninterested? Do you have your foot off the gas? Then you go to the Ohio State game. That's the only quarter you didn't score. Look, is there an issue? Yes. Is it this glaring, oh my God, sort of thing? I don't think so.
It's the kind of thing we find on a number one ranked team with not a lot else to poke holes at.
Yes. But if you are going into the college football playoff, you've got 3 weeks here to figure out why your team isn't solid in the third quarter, and you could tell he's a little chippy about it. And the only reason he's chippy about it, because I think behind closed doors where he's not going to talk to people, he knows that ultimately that is an issue, because if you're playing better teams, that's the sort of thing that can get you beat.
Well, I love that he knows it and he's addressed it and he's like, we're going to work on it. That's all you can ask, right?
That's all
that guy ever does. And then everything always improves.
Yes.
Have you noticed that?
They get better.
When that dude sets in on something.
Yeah. What do you want to bet they put up 3 tutties against Maryland in the third quarter this week?
Listen, I feel like, and I don't know about the Maryland thing, but I feel like this is simply, and this is probably an oversimplification, but I just think when you are that good and you're beating most of the opponents that we're talking about in the third quarter, they were up and clearly were physically better than every one of those teams, were they not?
Absolutely. And those games were never in question.
Yeah, so I think that's part of it, is you get into the locker room and you're like, oh, we got this. These guys can't hang with us.
Yeah.
And then, on the flip side, those teams, the one last punch they're going to throw is right out of the gate in the second half. Like, they regroup, they come at you. And so I think that could maybe explain some of it.
Yeah.
And I really don't know that that's a major problem if you see Oregon doing this against, you know, whoever they put, Indiana in the Big Ten title game or
the
college football playoff, then of course. But I bet it goes away when they start playing better teams.
Yeah.
Playoffs!
And then finally, going over to the NFL, the Seahawks dropping their 5th of their last 6 games with this ugly play.
So second down and goal from the 4. Seahawks have got to punch this in somehow, some way. Shotgun snap. Geno dumps it. Oh, my God. It's intercepted again. Intercepted at the 5-yard line.
Oh, my God. It's intercepted again. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Another rough loss for the Seahawks. God. Buy or sell, they are more rebuilders than they are playoff contenders.
No, because there's really only... I mean, I can't say there's only one. There is a massive issue with the Seattle Seahawks, and it's the worst in the league. And I mean that. It is the worst in the league, and it is their offensive line. Do you realize that I think they're either 31 or 32 on third down conversions. They're converting at like 24%. Do you know what their average third down to gain is? And let me just point out that anything 3rd and 6 and longer is considered obvious passing. 3rd and long, 3rd and 6 is problematic. Their average, just take a guess.
Like 3rd and 6.8 or something?
Oh, take another one.
9.
3rd and 8?
3rd and 9.8.
Oh, my God.
That is their average.
This deep in the season, that's horrendous.
Down. Geno Smith is pressured on basically 50% of his dropbacks. He was pressured 60% in this last one. Outside of Charles Cross, who's really good, it is the worst offensive line in football. It is dreadful. And when Geno Smith, I'm pulling this off the top of my head, but Geno Smith against pressure in that game was, I think, 9 of 19 with the picks, with a clean pocket. He was 9 of 12 for 220 yards. when Geno Smith has time. Geno Smith is a good quarterback. The only reason they were in that game is Jackson Smith and Jigba, and Geno were, like, he slings it. He had 6 completions of 20-plus yards in that game, and 2 others were dropped. So it's there. It's just that when you play behind the worst offensive line and you're not a mobile guy, and Geno is not a Mahomes guy, that he's, you know, he's not Josh Allen, he's not Lamar, he's a pocket guy. He needs to be in a system kind of like what Sam Darnold's doing. I think he's a much better version of Sam Darnold. But so are they rebuilding? They need to rebuild that offensive line because it stinks.
That right there is it. You asked if they're rebuilders or more contenders. I think they're more rebuilders because of the offensive line.
They will go nowhere with
that's
this
it.
Line.
I mean, it's just not good enough, and they know it.
Oh, it's
and
so bad.
So that's really. I mean, it doesn't have to be your whole roster. I mean, they have some pieces, but I don't. You know, I mean, you know me. I don't think as much of Smith as you do. I think even when you're running for your life like that, and of course he is. So is C.J. Stroud. You know, the only guy that's been pressured more than Geno is C.J. Stroud, and they have a better record. Yeah. He's handling it better, even though he's tough to watch, too. I mean, there's only so much you can do as a quarterback when that's your offensive line. You still, I don't care how much duress you're under, you cannot have those throws. Yeah. He had 3 of them.
Yeah.
You can't do it.
No.
You just, now he's Will Levis. Okay, so it's one thing that Geno Smith can do it if everything else is in place. That I buy.
Yeah.
But when Geno Smith starts playing like this when everything is not in place, you have compounded your problem. You have to have a quarterback, especially with a bad offensive line, that will not succumb to just really, really, really poor decisions.
The last couple weeks. And it's the same thing with C.J. Stroud.
You can't do it.
They're breaking him.
You just can't do it. And I worry about that. That at the same time, I mean, obviously Geno Smith is not the problem, but he cannot play like that.
No.
I don't care how much.
And he did apologize. I feel for him right now because that is a man right now that is just he's under siege. And Seattle is not a good team right now. I thought the Seahawks would be much better than this, but
you know he should have done.
They are not.
Should have tapped out.
Should have tapped out.
Did you see a receiver who did that in the NFL over the weekend?
Bah? Who?
DJ Moore.
He did?
The middle of a play, he just, Caleb Williams was like scrambling around and the routes were broken and he just walked off the field in the middle of the play.
DJ Moore, did you see
the little shoulder? I wasn't sure if that was as intentional as anyone ever made it, but.
Who did he bump?
Caleb Williams.
Oh, no.
DJ Moore is not happy with Caleb Williams because, again, there's another guy that, because of some circumstances around and he's a rookie, his play the last couple weeks is.
Well, he's running for his life, too.
Same thing.
And he's a rookie.
It's bad.
It's just.
Yeah, it's bad. But when DJ Moore isn't getting fed, there's tension.
All right. Stockwatch each week brought to you by Goldberg Jones. When it comes to divorce, custody, or child support issues, trust Goldberg Jones to help. Call 1-800-DIVORCE. Phone questions answered at no charge. In the news is next. The police have nabbed the shooter. Here's Buckley.